Today's show in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Bava Kama, Daf Nun Gimel. We're learning today Le'ili Nishmas Ozer Asher Newman, Ozer Asher Ben Aryeh Yehuda, and also Le'ili Nishmas Benjamin Weiser, Yisachar Beirish Ben Shmuel Tzvi. All the shams we learn for should have an aliyah from our learning. We, of course, continue to learn for the safety of all the forces in Eretz Yisrael, fighting on our behalf, them being Moshe Nefesh. Hashem should keep them safe and protected. They should be successful in all of their missions, including bringing back the hostages alive and well, b'mheira. All those in need of Refuah Shleima should have one from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. All those in need of Nechama, all the many korbanos that we've suffered, HaKadosh Baruch Hu should be Menachem, all those families. Okay, we pick up about halfway down already the Daf Nun Gimel Amud Aleph with the words Omar Mar. You can find this roughly in the middle of the Tosfos, Li'olam Kisavar. We had discussed this to a certain extent in yesterday's shiur, but we're picking up fresh because we're quoting Omar Mar. We're going to re-quote what we did in yesterday's shiur, so we'll just jump right into it. We had said in the Mishnah, Nafal Lufanov Mikol HaKriya, a animal fell inside to a bar because there was somebody digging inside the bar, making sounds, banging with a hammer on the rock, or taking a jackhammer today, and therefore that's why the animal was startled and it fell in head forward, and in that situation you're chayiv. So the Gemara asked a question which I alluded to yesterday, Amai, how come the person's chayiv in that situation? Nemo, we should say that this kore, the guy who's digging the pit, he's working with the jackhammer over there, banging with a hammer on the rocks, he made this startling noise. That's a groma b'nizokim. He was garamle for the animal to fall in, and groma b'nizokim is part to be dini adam. So why is anybody chayiv in this situation? We should say that it's a groma b'nizokim, and nobody should be chayiv. So I'm Shimi Barashi. Shimi Barashi says, you know whose opinion this is? Hamani? This is the opinion of Rabbi Nosini. Rabbi Nosson's opinion, who had said, we've learned this previously, the Omar, Baal Habor Hezeka Ka'ovid, in a situation where the owner of the pit did the damage. In other words, the animal was found dead at the bottom of the pit. So therefore, he has to assume the responsibility that his pit went and killed the animal. Now, the Kol Hekel de Lo Efsho Lishtalume Mehai Mishtale Mehai. Rabbi Nosson's sheet is, we had this previously, when you had a short Tom going and doing damage and knocked the animal into the pit. So Rabbi Nosson's sheet is, that since the short time only pays for half the damage, so then the owner of the pit has to make up the rest of the damage. So hecha de lo efsho lish talu mehai, when you go, you can't go and collect the damages from one, so then you go and collect the damages from the other. So in this situation, you're not able to go and collect because of grubbing and zokim from the guy making the sounds and startling the animal, so then you go to the other party, you go to the owner of the pit, and that's why, according to Rabbi Nosson, you can collect from the owner of the pit, even though it was a grubbing and zokim. So for the grubbing and zokim part, the guy with the jackhammer, so he doesn't have to pay. That's only a grubbing and zokim's part to be dealing on them. But Rabbi Nosson says, when one person can't pay, so then you go to the other party to pay the full damages, and therefore the Baal HaBor in this situation has to pay. That is why we pay in this situation. It is the opinion of Rabbi Nosson. The Tanya. And where do we learn this opinion, Rabbi Nosson? We learn the following brisa. Shor shadochav es chaveru labor. You have an ox that went and pushed another ox into a pit. So both of them had the potential to go and kill this animal. One with the goring, with the pushing, and the other by falling into the pit. So both the Baal HaShor and the Baal HaBor have the potential to be liable in this situation. So the brisa tells us first the opinion of the Chachamim. Shor shadochav es chaveru labor, Baal HaShor chayev. The opinion of the Chachamim is that the owner of the Shor, who caused the animal to fall into the pit, that goring ox, that pushing ox, is going to, the owner of that ox is going to be chayiv. And the Baal HaBor is potter. Because the Baal HaBor can say, hey, my bar wasn't what really caused the trouble here. You gored the ox, you pushed the ox into the pit. So you're chayiv Baal HaShor. That's the Tanakhama, that's the Chama's opinion. And along comes Rabbi Nosson, Rabbi Nosson Meir, no. Baal HaBor Mishalim Mechza, or Baal HaBor Mishalim Mechza. They're each equally responsible, and each of them has to go and pay half. Now, how do we view this? So, we're now going to bring another brisa that is going to seemingly contradict this, and therefore we'll have a better understanding of what Rabbi Nosson's opinion is. Now, this other brisa tells us, V'atanya, Rabbi Nosson Omer, Baal HaBor Mishalim Shlosho Chalokim, Ubaal HaShor Reviyah. So in this other brisa, we have one ox pushing another ox into a bar. So Rabbi Nosson over there paskins that the Baal HaBor pays 3/4 of the damages. The ox that got hurt, he pays 3/4 of those damages. And the Baal HaShor, the ox that pushed the ox that got hurt into the pit, only has to pay 1/4 of the total damages. So how can this be? We just said in our brisa, Rabbi Nosson Omer, Baal HaBor Mishalim Mechza, or Baal HaBor Mishalim Mechza. So it seems to be a steer with Rabbi Nosson. In the first brisa that we just brought down, Rabbi Nosson says half and half. The Baal HaShor pays half, and the Baal HaBor pays half. And in this new brisa that we just brought down, Rabbi Nosson says that the Baal HaBor pays 3/4, and the Baal HaShor, the goring shore's owner, he only pays 1/4. So it's a steer. So it says no steer, low kasha. They're talking about two different scenarios. This second brisa is talking about a tam, where you pay, the Baal HaBor pays 3/4, and the Baal HaShor pays 1/4. We're dealing here with the tam. So it's a tam, so the Baal HaShor tam, the owner of this shor tam, only has to pay chatzi nezek. So in this situation, he only pays 1/4 of the total nezek, because he's splitting the nezek with the Baal HaBor. And therefore, the rest of the nezek is paid for by the Baal HaBor. Now, he therefore has to pay his own chatzi nezek, and he then has to pay the other half, because if you can't collect from this person, then you go collect from the other person. So therefore, he's going to pay 3/4. That's the situation where it's a tam. And the first price is a habamuat. So they each have to pay nezek shalem. So the goring ox's, the pushing ox's owner, so he has to pay nezek shalem, and the bar owner, he has to pay nezek shalem, so they split it. That's why the first price is said, Baal HaBor pays meshalim mechza, and Baal HaShor meshalim mechza. They each pay a half. So that's how you would understand the two brises. Now, let's still further understand what exactly is the sheet of Rabbi Nosson. Ubitam Mike Sabra. What's the svar over here in regards to the short tam case where we said the second brise is talking about a short tam and the Baal HaShor has to pay only 1/4 and the Baal HaBor has to pay 3/4? Ubitam Mike Sabra. What are we dealing with? Ikisavar Haikuli Ezeko Avad, Haikuli Ezeko Avad. If we're saying that each of them basically is responsible for the entire damage, so the owner of the pushing ox is chayav the whole damages, and the Baal HaBor is chayav all of the damages, so then, ha'mishalim pagav, ha'mishalim pagav, then it should be the 50-50 split that we talked about, like we had in the first brisa. V'ikasavar ha'ipalgo hezeka avat, v'ha'ipalgo hezeka avat, if you're telling me, no, each one is really required to pay for 50% of the damages. So the pushing ox, his owner has to pay 50%, and the owner of the bar, he has to pay 50%. So then, the Baal HaMishor, Mishalim Palgo, Baal HaShor Revia. So then, the owner of the bar, he pays his full 50%, so he'll pay half. The Baal HaShor, who is Baal HaShor Tam, should have to pay Chatzi Nezek of the 50% that he owes, which is 1/4, Baal HaShor Revia. And the other Revia, the Idach Reviva, Mavsid, that should be lost. The person who is the Nizach, the one who owns the shore that got gored, the shore that died in the bottom of the pit. So he'll have to suffer 1/4 of the loss himself. Why isn't that the case? So the Gemara says, Amar Rava, I'll explain to you. First of all, Rabbi Nosson Dayanuhu. Rabbi Nosson is a big Dayan. As Rashi points out, it was the Av Beis Din. Rashi has the gear, so he was the Av Beis Din. And the Gemara in Horias tells us that he was a very big Dayan. So Rabbi Nosson is a Dayan. He is a professional judge. V'nochus l'yom k'dedina. And he knows how to get to the bottom of the din. And we'll understand why you have the second brisa saying that the Baal HaShor only pays 1/4 and the Baal HaBor pays 3/4. Now, li'olam k'savar haikuli hezek ovav haikuli hezek ovav. You can learn it that each of them is responsible for 100% of the damages. And therefore they'll split it. Now, they each then have to pay 50%. They each required, they each obligated for 100% of the damages. So they split it. So therefore, one will pay 50% of the 100% of the damages, and one will pay 50% of the 100% of the damages. So in this situation, we show them the amale Baal HaShor, the Baal HaBor. The Baal HaShor can say to the Baal HaBor, hey, listen, I'm a short tom. My shore was a short tom, the Baal HaShor could say. So how does it help me that I'm partnering with you over here? If you weren't here, I'd still pay 50%. So the fact that you're here, how does that help me? Shut fosai mayahanali. How does it actually help me? Now, some actually have a different gears over here. They say that not only how does the shutfas help me, my shore is a short tom. How does my fact that I'm a short tom help me? It's only in combination with the shutfas that it should help me. And therefore, since I'm only a short tom, I should only pay 50%. If I'm a shutuf with you, so then you have to share in the damage. So therefore, I'll pay 25% and you'll pay 25% to cover my 50% because of Rabbi Nosson's principle that if you can't collect it from one, you collect it from the other. And then you pay your entire 50% that you're required on your own. And that's why you pay 75% and I only pay 25%. So that's how Rava explains Rabbi Nosson. Alternatively, you could look at it another way and says each of them is responsible for 50% of the damage, not 100% of the damage. You're responsible for 50%, I'm responsible for 50%. I do kakashalach, then it should be Baal HaBor Mishalim Palga, so the Baal HaBor should have to pay the 50%. Baal HaShor Mishalim Revia, the half of the 50% that he owns, which is 25%, and then the owner, the Nizak, the one who got damaged over here, the owner of the Shor that got damaged, he should have to suffer 1/4 of the loss himself. So in this situation, Rabbi Nosson says, no, that's incorrect. Because the Baal HaShor, here it's talking about the Baal HaShor, something switches around, something means the owner of the ox that pushed, here it means the owner of the ox that got damaged. The owner of the ox that got damaged can say to the Baal HaBor, hey, My shor was at the bottom of your pit. Ana turoi, my shor bebircha ashkechise. I found it at the bottom of your pit. You owe me 100% of the damages. At kitalte. Your bar killed my animal. You owe me 100%. You're tining. Did you have a partner? That's your problem. My deisli lishtalume meheach mishtalamna. Therefore, I'm going to collect from the other shor whatever I can. The one that pushed it in. You're right. He's your partner. I'll collect from him what I can. But the bottom line is, whatever I can't collect from him, he's a short time. I can only collect half of the other 50%, so there's 25% from him that I'm not getting. I'm going to get it from you. Whatever I can't get from him, I'm going to get from you. And that's why it's not the 25% is going to be suffered by the Nizak. No. The Nizak's going to get 100%. And if I can get, the Nizak says, as much as I can from the owner of the shore that pushed it, fine. But if I can only collect half of the 50% that he owes, i.e. a quarter, I'm going to come to you for the other quarter, plus the half that you owe for the three quarters. And that's the explanation Rava says for Rabbi Nosson. Now, Rava tells us another thing. Omer Rava, Rava says, what happens if you have a pit, and hiniach evin al piavor, a guy puts a series of rocks around this pit, and ubar shor, and a shor comes along, the niskal bar, the nafal bar. And now a shor comes along and trips on the stones that were placed by the second guy in, and the ox falls into the pit. Now, ubar nul machlok is rinos and rabbanon. Rabbi says this is exactly the same machlok as rinos and rabbanon. According to rabbanon, this shor fell on these rocks. The rocks are the cause directly of the damage. It's not groma benizokim. This is the direct damage. They caused this ox to trip, and therefore the Baal HaBor doesn't pay anything. And the Baal HaEven, the one who placed the Even over there, he's required to pay for all the damage. However, according to Rabbi Nosson, you got two people over here. You have the owner of the Even and the owner of the pit. They'll each pay 50%. So Gemara says, Pshita, this is obvious. What's Rava's Chiddush over here? So Rava's giving us a big Chiddush. Gemara says, Ma'al Tema, I would have said, Hasam Hu, only in the case where you have one ox pushing another ox into the pit like we just had. Over there, you would say that there's a possibility of splitting the damages because you have the ox that pushed could have killed the animal, and you have the bar that could kill the animal. So therefore, it's a combination of both. And there, Rabbi Nosson says that there's the potential to split it. The Omar Baal HaBor LeBaal HaShor, there, in that situation, Ilav Biro Didi Tor Dido Chavi Kotele. Even if my pit wasn't there, the owner of the pit can say to the owner of the ox, your ox gored it, your ox pushed it, he would have died from the goring. So therefore, you got to participate in the damages. So there, in that situation, Rabbi Nosson says, there's a palga, you split it over here. Ilav Biro Didi Tor Dido Chavi Kotele. It would have killed it anyway. But you can't say the same thing by this stone that's put around the lip of the pit. Aval Hocha. Matzi Amar, Rabbi says, you know what you could have thought? Matzi Amar le Baal Evin le Baal HaBor. The Baal Evin could possibly say to the Baal HaBor, listen, your bar did all the damage over here. Ilav Bira Didach, if your pit wasn't here, so you know what would have happened? I would have had a rock over here, and the shor would have tripped on the rock, and it would have fallen on the floor, and nothing would have happened. Avno Didi, my Havi Avda, what would my rock have done? Okay, so it caused the shor to trip, and Ihavi Mitkal, if it had tripped, well, if it had tripped over this rock, Havi Nofil, it would have fallen, and the car would have gotten right up. So it's the bar that did 100% of the damage. And therefore, you might have thought that, Kamash Lam, therefore Rabbi tells us, this is a Chiddush over here, the Amalei, the Baal HaBor can say, Ilav Evan, if it wasn't for your rock, Lo Havi Nofil Labira, it wouldn't have fallen into the pit. Your rock caused it to fall. So therefore, you are a partner with me in the damage. And in this situation, the Chiddush is that Rabbi Nosson would say this. So that's what Rav is telling us in the Chiddush of the case of Iniach Evan al Pi HaBor. Now the Gemara says, Itmar, we turn to Nun Dalet Amud Beis. We have the following scenario. Shor, Vishor Psulei HaMukdashin, Shenokhu. You have two Shvarim over here. One is a regular Shor, and the other one is a Shor Psulei HaMukdashin. It was a Shor. Now, we're going to see in a moment, we have a, in parentheses, let's see it right now. It says, Mainyu, what is this Shor Psulei HaMukdashin? It is a Shor Bechor, Delo Pariklei. It is talking about a ox that was a Bechor, and it is not involved in the dinim of pidyon, of parik, of being redeemed. Because by definition, if a shor that's a bechor gets a mum, it's automatically no longer considered kachim. It is now able to be eaten by the kohen, and he can eat it, invite anybody else to eat it. It's chulin. Albeit it has some dinim still attached to it, but this is the example of the shor that is psulei mukdashin that we're talking about now. Now, notice that this is the parentheses. And Rashi and Tosfos over here both say that there is this gears that it adds this in over here. But there's a very interesting Masoras HaShas here that tells us, if you look in Os Zion, the Marshal deletes this. And the Marshal says that this Chochi Garcinum, which is what it sounds like, is actually the Baal Halachos Gedolos, which Tosa says is authored by Rabbi Yehudai Gon. And therefore, this was another pshat that's brought down over here in the name of the Baal Halachos Gedolos. That's what this Hey Gimel means. It doesn't mean Chochi Garcinum, it means the Halachos Gedolos. And at the end of this Masorah Shashas, he brings down Shetalmid Echod Kosro Begilyam, that one of Rashi's Talmidim added this in over here. And that's really what Tosa says over here, that this saying that this is Psulei Mekdash, it's talking about a shor that is a Bechor that has a mum in it. And therefore, it's not subject to redemption. But it could also be talking about a regular din of Psulei HaMukdashin that has been redeemed. If it's been redeemed, so there are certain restrictions on it. You can't do giza with it. You can't go and milk it. So there's certain restrictions on it, but you're allowed to go and eat it. It's chulin. And it's no longer called shor of hektish. It's called shor reyehu, and the regular dinim apply. So therefore, we're dealing in our situation with a regular shor and a shor of psulei hamukdashin that both went and did damage. They went and gored another animal. They did it simultaneously together. And the question is, how do you pay in this situation? So the Gemara says, again, we already spoke out the words, Mayniyu shor b'chor d'lo parukle, so we'll skip that for now. So we have a machlokas over here, Abaye and Ravina. Abaye amar, mishalim chatzi nezek. The owner of the shor that was a regular shor pays chatzi nezek, and the other shor, the shor psulei mukdashim, pays nothing. Rashi explains the Dibur Masel, Abaye amar chatzi nezek mishalim. He says the Baal HaShor, the regular Baal HaShor, pays the chatzi nezek, v'hashar maaser in nizak. The other shor that's a shor psulei mukdashim pays nothing, and the nizak will lose the other half. Why is that? Because we're dealing here with a shor tam. U'b'tam mukmina lo. This was a shor tam that damaged. The regular shor was a shor tam, and we go like Rabbi Nosson, because Rabbi Nosson, the Omar, ma de les le lishtalume mihai, lishtali mihai. What you can't collect from one, you collect from the other. So in this situation, the shor that is the regular shor that is a shor tam, so the owner has to pay 100% of his damages. So he has to pay the 50%, the chatzi nezek. It's as if he doesn't have any partner. And the other shor pays nothing. And the nizak will unfortunately lose 50%. And along comes Ravina. Ravina Amar, Mishalim Ravina Nezik. No, they hold like the Chachamim. Rashi says he holds like the Chachamim. And therefore, there's in this situation, he has to pay half, and the other one has to pay half. But the other one, the owner of the shor, Psulei Mukdashim, pays nothing. So the shor, who is the owner of the shor tam, in that situation, he has to pay chatzi nezek of his 50%. So he only has to pay 25%. Mishalim revia nezek, and the nizak will lose 3/4. Now, the din, the Gemara says, is as such because hava hava tam, both Avaya and Ravina are both dealing with the shor tam, and as I just pointed out already, ha ki rabbanon, the opinion of Ravina goes like the rabbanon, who says that they don't have a partnership over here, so he only has to pay, in this situation, a riva, because each was responsible for 50% of the damages, but the shor psulei mukdashim pays nothing. He has to pay chatzi nezek of his 50%, therefore it's a riva. So that's the opinion of Ravina. The hawk, Rabbi Nosson, and Abaya, he also like Rabbi Nosson. So if you can't collect from one, you collect from the other. So you collect from the shor that is the regular shor. He has to pay 100% of what he has to owe, which is chatzi nezek. So he has to pay half, and then the nizak will suffer half. Alternatively, you could actually say that both these opinions, Abaye and Ravina, are both within the sheet of the Rabbanan. But Ravina is talking about a tam, and therefore the tam, according to Ravina, will pay half of the half, like the Chacham we just said a moment ago. And Abaye is talking about Ha B'muad, and that's why he also pays only his half, but his half is now a full half, because he's a muad. He pays the full half that he owes, so therefore he pays a matzah. So that's one way to understand the machlokas between Abaye and Ravina. There's a whole nother way to understand it. Iko di Amre, and there's a different girsa here. Abaye Omar Chatzi Nezek. Abaye still says that you play half Nezek, but here Ravina Omar Kule Nezek. Ravina says that the person, the owner of the shor, the regular shor, he has to pay full Nezek. According to the other opinion, Ravina said he only pays a quarter Nezek. According to this girsa, he pays a full Nezek. Now, under what circumstances are we talking about? So let's assume ha v'ha b'muad. We're dealing over here that both of them are a muad. And Abaye holds kirabanan. Abaye says half nezek. So it's dealing with a muad. You're required to pay the full amount. But you're only required, according to the Chachamim, you pay your half and the other one pay his half. The other one can't pay his half because he's a shor psulei mukdashim and you don't pay for that. We still have to see why you don't pay for that. But he doesn't pay for that at all. And therefore, Abaye says the owner of the regular shor, so he has to pay his full damages, it's a muad, but that is only half, so therefore he pays half. And Ravina holds, no, Bahaki Rabbi Nasan. I hold like Rabbi Nasan. And if you can't collect from the one that is the Sharp Sule Mikdashan's owner, then you collect it all from the other. And he has to move it, so he has to pay the full damages. So that's one way to learn it. Or he buys Sam, he could learn it. No, Bahaki Rabbi Nasan. They both actually hold like Rabbi Nasan. And Ravina is saying that we're dealing with a mu'at. Ravina says you're dealing with a mu'at, as we just pointed out, if you can't collect from the Shar Psulei Mikdashim, so you go collect from the other owner of the Shar, the regular Shar, and since this is like Rabbi Nasan, if you can't collect from one, you collect it all from the other. You have to pay, Ravina says, full damages. Ravina Omar Kuli Nezek. And Abaya is dealing with the Tam. If you're dealing with the Tam, even though you're holding Rabbi Nasan, so it's a partnership, so each one has their responsibility, but he only pays chatzi nezek, so he'll only have to pay 50%. Abaya Amar chatzi nezek. Now we have another case. Amar Rava. Rava says you have three damages in this situation. Shor, you have a regular shor, but Adam, a person, Shedochafu, they push an animal or a person, or as we'll see, Kalim, we'll have all the dinim in a moment, into a bar. So there's three damages over here. You have the shor that's goring or pushing, you have the Adam who pushed, and you have the bar itself that helped sustain the damages to either the person or the animal or the Kalim that fell into this bar. Now, the inyan nizakin in regards to damages to either the person or the animal, l'inyan nizakin, so then kulan chayavim. Everybody is an equal participant. The person who pushed, the ox that pushed, and the baal habar, the owner of the pit, they're all going to be equally responsible because in this situation, everybody pays nezek. The person or the ox that pushes somebody has to pay nezek, and the bar is chayav to pay nezek for a person and animal. Now, you wouldn't pay, if it's a person, you wouldn't pay kofar, as we'll see in a moment. But you would pay nezek. So therefore, in regards to nezek, lenin and nizakin, kul and chayavim, each of them would share in the damages. One third the person would pay, one third the baal hashar would pay, and one person, the baal habar, would pay his third. Now, that's in regards to plain, straightforward nezek that happened to the animal or to the person that fell into the bar, was pushed into this bar. Lenin arba dvarim, in regards to the tsar, ripui, shevis, and boshes, which only a person pays, and in regards to the mei vlados, if this was a pregnant woman and she miscarried, we said also, we had previously the psukim, ubala sharnaki, only a person pays for such damages, so in this situation, adam chayiv, only a man would be chayiv over here for the damages of tsar, ripui, shevis, and boshes, or the mei vlados, and the shor, and the bar, based upon psukim, would be potter. Fine. Linyan kofar, if Nebuch, it was a person that was pushed into this pit and he died, so then there's the penalty of kofar. Or if it was an Eved Kenani, Ushloshim Shel Eved Kenani, so those penalties of kofar for a person or Shloshim for an Eved Kenani, so the only responsible parties for that would be the Baal Hashar. The Baal Hashar would be Chayiv. In this situation, Adam Ubar Peturim. Adam is Potur because Kom lemi the rabbi bine, you're chayiv misa. And even when you're not chayiv misa, as we pointed out previously, since there's the potential to be chayiv misa over here, in this situation, there is no penalty of financial because there's a potential capital punishment over here. So the adam is going to be potter from the kofar or the shloshim shalevet. And the bar is also potter because of the psukim that we've learned already previously, and we'll learn later in today's shir and in tomorrow's shir, bar dosiv, shar velo adam, chamar velo kalim. So that's how we know that adam and bar are going to be v'turim, and the only one be chayiv if Nebuch, the person, died, or the Eved Kenani died in this pit, so the only one would be the baal hashar would be chayiv, the adam, or the baal habar would be potter. Now, in regards to kalim, ulinian kalim, if it wasn't a person or an animal that fell into the pit, or was pushed into the pit, it was utensils, it was kalim, and they broke. So in this situation, linyan kalim, the shor, or alternatively, if it was a shor, psulei hamukdashim, that was pushed into the pit. So in both of these situations, the adam, the shor, the adam, the person who pushed it in, or the baal hashar who pushed it in, either the shor, psulei hamukdashim, or the kalim, they would be chayovim. They would have to go and pay, because they caused this damage. However, because of the din of shor velo adam, chamor velo kalim, the bar, owner of the bar, ubar potter. The owner of the bar would be potter. So this is what Rava teaches us of the dins in all of these various situations. Now, my timer, what's the reasoning that a bar is going to be potter for kalim? That we've already explained. Shor v'lo adam, chamor v'lo kalim. But my timer, what's the reasoning that we haven't said yet why the bar, the owner of the bar, should be potter if a psula hamukdasha fell into it? Adam and shor v'chayiv. Why is the bala bar potter for not... Why is the baal habar doesn't have to pay? He's potter from paying for a shard that's psulei hamukdashim that falls into his pit or pushed into his pit. My time. What's that reasoning? Because the pasuk says, "Amakra v'hameis yielo." The pasuk tells us that the mace has to belong to the nizak, so the nizak gets to keep the mace. B'misha meis shelo. In the case of Shor Psulei HaMukdashim, guess what? One of the residual Kedusha that it still has, like we said, you can't do Giza, you can't go and shear it, you can't go and milk it, you can't go and work it, you also can't go and sell its carcass to a dog. You can shecht it and you can eat it as kosher meat. But if it's an Avela, so then you're not allowed to go and sell it. So therefore, you don't have the Hameis Yelo, only where you have Hameis Yelo, Balabor Yishalem, Kesef Yishiv Levolov, the Hameis Yelo. If you have the Hameis Yelo, so then the Balabor is Chayiv. But if you don't have the Hameis Yelo, which you don't have by Psulei HaMukdashim, so then you don't have the din that the Balabor is Chayiv. That is what Rava says. Now, Lememra, that seems to imply the Pshita Leila Rava, that this is the din. That, in fact, for the Baal HaBar, he doesn't have to go and pay for a Shor Psulei HaMukdashim that falls into his pit or it's pushed into his pit. But elsewhere, V'hom Abaye, Abaye LeRava, LeRava. Elsewhere, Rava himself was the one that asked this question. What is the halacha in regards to a bar owner? Does he have to pay for a Psulei HaMukdashim that falls or pushed into his pit? Because the boy Rava, Rava was the one that actually asked this question. Here, he seems to know the answer. How did he ask the question elsewhere? The boy Rava, Rava asked, a shor that is psulei hamukdashim should offer lebar. Mahu, what's the halacha? Now, what's the two possibilities? Do we say hi v'ameis yelo b'misha meis shelo? Exactly like we just said that it has to be that he can use the carcass over here. He can use the nevela, and the din is by psulei hamukdashim that you can't. So therefore, that's why he's exempt. Or yotzei she'ein hameis shelo. Therefore, it excludes this psulei hamukdashim from the baal habar being responsible. Or maybe not. See, here Rava says this is the definitive answer. But elsewhere Rava said, maybe not, O Dilma. V'ameis yelo means libalim mitaplim b'nevelehu diyosa. It means that the nizak has to go and take care of this nevela. That's included in his payment. So the shor was worth $1,000 while it was alive. It's worth $200 when it's dead. So, okay, there's 800 additional damage that a shor mu'ud would have to pay. But meanwhile, the 200 of the carcass, you, nizak, go take that. That's your payment. He doesn't have to be on top of that. You have to be on top of that. And how do we know that? Because it says, v'ameis yelo. So he gets the mace. Maybe this is the drasha of ameis yelo, and not the drasha that Rava so clearly holds right now. And he says that this excludes the sharp psulei hamukdashim. So Gemara says, no. Basar Dubai, yes, he originally asked this question. This question that Fahim Dubai, Boyle Rabba, yes, he originally asked this question, but Hadur Pashta, he himself gave the answer that it's Fameis Yelo, comes to teach us that the Baal Habar of the Psulei HaMukdashim doesn't have to go and pay for it. So yes, Rabba did answer the question, but then Rabba answered it. Nun Gemara says, Ella Ba'alim Mitapla Binavela Minole. Well, what about the second part of the question? That sounded like a good thing. That was actually a valid drasha. You need the pasuk Fameis Yelo to teach us that the Nizak has to be Mitapla with the carcass and not the Mazik. So how does he know that? So Gemara says, Nafgale Min Vehameis Yelo, a different pasuk that's found by Shor Shenogach. Now, in the art school Gemara, they don't have this in the Torah Or, but in the newer Oz V'Hada Gemaras, they bring down this pasuk as a different Oz, another Oz in the Torah Or. And they bring down the pasuk from Mishpatim, which says, Shalem Yishalim Shor, Tachas Ashor, V'Hameis Yelo. There's another pasuk, not only the pasuk that we just quoted, which is by Bar, but there's also V'Hameis Yelo that is written by Shor. And that pasuk, Nafkalo min Hameis Yelo, Dishar, is where Rava learns out the din that the Nizak has to be metapel with the carcass and not the Mazik. Someone says, why do you see to learn it the way that you did? You're learning that the Bar teaches us the din that the Psulei HaMukdashim doesn't. Is not a responsibility of the Baal HaBar. And you're saying that V'Hameis Yelo by Shor teaches us that the Nizak has to go and be metapo. Why not flip it around? My chazis da meis yelo de shor, mafkis le lebolim metaplim b'nevela. You're using this pasuk hameis yelo by Shor to teach us that it's the Nizak's responsibility. And you're using hameis yelo in regards to bar, mafkis lo lemisha hameis yelo. That comes to exclude the Shor psulei hamukdashim. Eifachanot, why not flip it around and do it the other way? Why did you see fit to do it this way? So Gemara says that Rava said it makes sense to do it this way. Mistavra, It makes more sense to say that the patur gabe bar. It makes more sense to say that in regards to the bar, there should be no din of psulei hamikdashim. The owner of the bar is going to be potter to pay for the psulei hamikdashim, because vamei lo means that it has to be something that he can use the carcass. And if he can't use the carcass, then he's not chayiv. Why? Hoel upotar boes hakelim. Because we find another patur in regards to bar. We already have the patur of shor v'lo adam chamor v'lo kelim. So once we already have one patur by bar, it makes sense to say that there's another patur by bar. You have the patur of kelim, and you also have the patur of psulei hamikdashim. Where it says, Adarabba, no, I could argue the exact opposite. You have similarly a patur gabi shar. In regards to shar, you sometimes don't have to pay. When? Shekem potabo chatzi nezek. When you have a tam. When you have a tam, you don't pay full nezek. So you also have a patur in regards to shar. So again, it makes just as much sense to learn it the opposite way that Rava did, as opposed to learning it the way that Rava did. Where it says, no. The way that Rava learned it is still more correct, because kule nezek, to find full nezek, a patur by bar, mi es lo ashkan, that we do not find. So therefore, you do find chatzi nezek, but you don't find ever full damages. So if one of them is going to be something to include, i.e., by the shor, it teaches us, nafkalei v'amesi alo the shor, to teach us that the carcass belongs to the nizak, so that's more correct. And to say that mesi alo, that's found by bar, that comes to exclude the owner of the bar from having to pay for psulei mikdashim, that makes sense, because we have another example of a patur in regards to the gabi bar, the owner of the bar in regards to kelim. So indeed, the way Rava learned it makes good sense, and that's why he originally had the question, but then he subsequently answered it himself. Then we quote the Mishnah. We said, we had, if you have a shor with kelim, and we said the chamor with its type of kelim, so in both situations, you're chayiv for the animal, the shor or the chamor, and as we said, other animals, which we'll see in tomorrow's shir, that includes all other animals as well, but you're potter for the kelim. By the kelim of the shor, we said we use the lashon of shvira, and by the kelim of the chamor, we use the lashon of tearing, because of the different types of kelim. The shor had the macharisha, the plow, and the yoke, and the kelim of the donkey are something like a saddle or clothing, so they're using the lashon of ripping. Okay, now, our Mishnah, the Gemara says, Masisa d'loka Rabbi Yehuda. Our Mishnah doesn't go in accord with the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. The Tanya, Rabbi Yehuda learns, Rabbi Yehuda mechayev al niskei kelim b'bar. He disagrees with his drasha of shor v'lo adam chamor v'lo kelim, and he says, no, in fact, if kelim are broken in a bar, the owner of the bar is chayav to pay for the kelim. No, where do each of them get their respective shittas from? So my time of the Rabbanan, what's the reasoning of the Rabbanan? So I've mentioned this many times already, and we see it now here inside. The Amar Kra, the Pasuk says, V'nofal shama shor o chamor. And from the fact that it mentions shor and chamor, so shor teaches us the davka shor v'lo adam, that excludes an adam. Now, nezek, you do pay for an adam, but if a person dies, so then there is no payment. And chamor v'lo kelim. You only pay for the damages to the chamor that falls into the pit, but you don't pay for any kelim that are ruined when the chamor falls into the pit. Or if the kelim just falls into a pit. That's the opinion of the chachamim. Rabbi Yehuda, what does he do? How does he dash that you have to pay for the kelim? So he says, yes, it says, shor o chamor. You have the extra word o. So Rabbi Yehuda, he dashes that o, lirabo says that kelim, to come to include kelim as well. No, what did the Chachamim do with that? Rabbanan. And we turn to Nundal Ramad Aleph. The Chachamim say the word O is Mboyalil Lechalek. That comes to teach us, as Rashi, the top Rashi says, the low tame eno chayev achiyipo shom shor vechamor biyachad. You might have thought if the Pasuk said shor vechamor, so you need to have both the shor and a chamor fall in before you chayev. And therefore, the word O tells us no. If you only have a shor or you only have a chamor that falls in, you're going to be chayev as well. So the word O is coming to be Mechalek to tell us you don't need both of them. But even if only one of them fell in, either a shor or a chamor, you would be chayiv. No, how does Rabbi Yehuda know that? So Rabbi says, Rabbi Yehuda, he says, you don't need the O to be mechalek. He says, lechalek, you can know that it means a shor or a chamor from the fact that it uses the singular, the nofal nafka. It doesn't say shor, chamor, noflu. It says the nofal shama, shor or chamor. Rashi says it's a loshen yachid, meaning one of the two. And therefore, Rabbi Yehuda has the word O to come to teach us the din of kelim. Aye, what do the Chachamim do with that? After all, why don't you say the Nofal is singular? So the Chachamim, the Rabbanan, the Nofal means Tuva Mashma. Even though it says Nofal Alosh and Yochit, it could mean multiple. It could mean Shor and Chamor. And Rashi gives multiple examples of this. Rashi says, Kimo, it says, V'osa Bitzalel V'Aliyav. In regards to the Mishkan, it says that Bitzalel and Aliyav, they made it, but it uses the lashon singular of Yosa. Likewise, it says uba os vehamofes. It says singular uba, and yet it talks about an os or a mofes. And likewise, it says uba hari v'es hadov. When David goes and tells Shaul, "I can go fight Goliath," he says, "I fought off a lion and a dove." But it says uba hari v'es hadov. they singular came upon me. So we need it. Sometimes a lashon of singular could even be applied to a plural. And therefore, the Chacham say, if it had just said, v'nofal shom ashor ha-chamor, I wouldn't know it. You need the word O to come to be mechalik to tell me ashor alone or a chamor alone you have to pay, and not that if you didn't have the word O, you would say that it means you need to have both of them. You need the word O to come to teach us this din. So to quickly chazer, according to the author of our Mishnah, the drash is shor v'lo adam, chamor v'lo kelim, and you need the word o to tell us that it's not a shor and a chamor together. Either one of them alone, you have to pay for the damages, and the word o is necessary. According to Rabbi Yehuda, the word o is not necessary. He learns it out from v'nofal to teach us that it's either a shor or a chamor alone, and therefore he uses the word o to include kelim. Now, in the middle of this drasha, Yetz Hashem will darshan this a lot more in tomorrow's shir, on the first half of tomorrow's shir, in the Dalai Lama, but we'll stop over here, where this will conclude today's shir.